Mark Mangino was, well, first of all, there are people liked him, people didn't like him. And I will go back, and I'm going to set this up for everyone in case you forgot. But Mark Mangino led Kansas to a 12-1 record in 2008, and they won the Orange Bowl. And for you younger folks out there that may not remember 2008, that's a true story, what I just told you. Yeah. That actually happened. I saw it with my own eyes.
Yes, Mark Mangino. I watched them give them a BCS trophy.
Mark Mangino turned around the football program and got him to 12-1.
Fairly quickly.
And believe it or not, when you're a head coach of a football team at the University of Kansas and you end up with a career record of over 500, you're a damn good coach. I'm just going to say it. At least you might not be the greatest person, but you got to be a pretty dang good coach to go 50-48 at the University of Kansas in football. He did that in 8 seasons under Mangino. Do you know what KU's record was in the 8 seasons since? 14-70.
Yeah.
And attendance in 2008 was 51,000. 2007 was 50,500. Last year, half of that, 25,000 people. So remember how he went out. That year that he ended up being fired, mm-hmm. Mark Mangino's team started out the year 5-0.
Yep.
They were ranked in the top 15 at the time.
Yes, they were.
And everything looked great. Todd Reese was a quarterback. They lost a couple games, and they had some injuries, and then things went south. It snowballed. And they lost 7 in a row. They went 5-7. And that hasn't happened in too many teams in college football history where you start 5-0 and you lose your last 7. But KU did it. And all of a sudden, all the things came out of Lawrence about Mark Mangino's a bully, he's verbally abusive to his players, and the right people got on that wagon. Mm-hmm. And
that was the key.
That was the key. Mark Mangino upset the wrong people. But I'm telling you right now, mark my words, I have no doubt, I'll go to the grave convinced of this, that if Mark Mangino that year, he started 5-0, had they gone 4-3 the rest of the way, or even if they made a bowl game, he would not have been fired at the end of that year.
Nope. I agree.
The reason he was fired is because they thought he lost the players, perhaps, maybe the combination of the accused abuse, mm-hmm. alleged abuse. But also, the biggest reason he got fired was they lost 7 in a row.
The bottom fell out.
If that team ends up 9-3, he's still the coach at KU, at least the next year. Mm-hmm. But 5-0, lose 7 in a row, and all of a sudden, well, we're Kansas. We got this football tradition. We were 12-1. No, you don't have no football tradition from that standpoint. Yeah, you have Gale Sayers and John Riggins. There's tradition with KU football, but it's a ways back there, okay? Mm-hmm. Just, you know, there's folks that say K-State basketball has this great tradition. They do, but it's a kind of a ways back there. You got to go mm-hmm. back to basically the early 80s. I know 88, they made the Elite Eight and lost to KU, and that's when things kind of turned between KU and K-State. But the point is, K-State hasn't had consistent success in men's basketball over the course since 88. They've had their many lows. Mm-hmm. And obviously, KU football, since the Sayers and Riggins years, have had a lot of low years, mm-hmm. no question. And Mark Mangino, whether you love him or hate him or don't like him or don't care, he won games at the University of Kansas. And I've said this for a long time. Kansas football tends to go from good guy and then hire a bad guy, then hire a good guy. Then hire a bad guy. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, there was Glenn Mason. He was a hard you-know-what. And he won 10 games with University of Kansas, and they won the Aloha Bowl against BYU in 1994, I think it was, or 93. So Glenn Mason was a hard, tough coach. Well, once he wore on the players enough to where he didn't win as much, he was kind of forced out. He went to Minnesota. So then who do they hire? Super nice guy, Terry Allen.
Yep.
Boy, that guy's splendid. And he stunk as a coach at the Division I level.
He was a splendid guy.
Splendid guy. But he stunk. He did. So who was the next guy to hire? Oh, Mark Mangino. And he whips him into shape. Everything's great, right? Super. Fantastic. And then they lose 7 in a row. And then it's, well, he's abusive. We got to get rid of him. Which maybe that's the case. Maybe he was verbally abusive. But I'm guessing he didn't just start becoming abusive the final 7 games of that year. Do you?
No.
I'm guessing he was probably verbally abusive. If he was, verbally abusive... I would assume he probably was even the year they went 12-1. I'm just going to assume it. I guess I don't know for sure, but I don't think he just totally turned the color of his spots.
As long as it's effective, it's okay.
Of course. But
is that the point that
we're getting
at here?
I think so. So who does KU hire after Mark Mangino? Super splendid, nice, fabtabulous Turner Gill.
Yes.
Yeah, Turner Gill. And then that didn't work. So now who do we hire? We hire Mr. Jerk himself, Charlie Weiss, who called out the team and said the players were a pile of crap. He did. Not behind closed doors to the media. See where I'm going? Nice guy, bad guy, nice guy, bad guy, nice guy, bad guy. So after Charlie Weiss, who do we have? David Beatty, who is a nice guy. A lot of people like David Beatty.
Yeah.
They really do. And he might finally work out.
He seems to be a decent combination of both.
Because he can
coach a little, and he's a pretty decent guy.
Yeah, so far.
Maybe this will work out. We can be 500 and be excited about it forever.
But let's be honest, he's only won 2 games in 2 years.
Yeah.
Now, he inherited a horrible situation. Horrible situation.
I'm not sure I've ever seen anybody in I can't even say the word that comes to my mind right now, but anyway, it was just a complete mess.
There are people that have seen the turnaround and know what happened at Kansas State that have said at the University of Kansas football thing that they've said it's comparable. Now, they didn't, let me make this clear before K-State fans get all riled up. They didn't say that it's the same thing. But what they're saying is, in this modern day age of football, since 1989 when Bill Snyder took over, I mean, K-State, you can never compare it. But what the point is, David Beatty inherited an unbelievable, god-awful situation at the University of Kansas. And Bill Snyder inherited a god-awful situation at K-State where they were basically going to eliminate the football program at one point, and the Big 8 was going to kick them out of the conference.
Yeah.
And what Bill Snyder did is the miracle in Manhattan. And nobody's going to do what Bill Snyder did ever again, probably somewhere else. I mean, maybe it will happen. But I will say, if David Beatty gets this KU team, if he stays there long enough and turns this team around to where there's 1 year in the next 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years where they're competing for a national championship like Bill Snyder did, it should be called the at least mini miracle.
Yeah.
Because this is horrible. I mean, Charlie Weiss just made it even worse. That was the worst hire I think I've ever seen in college
football. I've never been so mad at anything related to KU athletics as a KU fan as the morning that I was driving to work listening to you guys, and you said, guess what? It's official. Charlie Weiss is the new coach at KU. I yelled in my car. I said, no! No, 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 no! He couldn't win at Notre Dame. He couldn't recruit at Notre Dame. I don't care how good they were when he was the offensive coordinator
in New England. With Matt Cassel with the Chiefs for 1 year.
I don't care. No! I was so mad.
And
I was like, it's it. We're done for the next 5 years.
And do you remember what I also said on that show that day? Because I remember. I said, I guarantee you Charlie Weiss won't make it through 3 years.
You did say that.
I guaranteed it. I said, this is a – and Dusty said the same thing. It is an absolute – I think about everybody in KU Nation – that knew anything about football, knew this was, it was the, we knew before he was, hired, it would be a horrible hire. They only hired him because of his name.
It was a publicity stunt.
It was.
They wanted to go out and make a splash and bring in a big name.
And then they introduced him.
Because Turner Gill had been a complete train wreck. He won a bowl game at Buffalo, and all of a sudden, he's the hot commodity in Division I football. Not.
Oh, I was okay with them hiring Turner Gill.
I was okay with it, too, but then after I watched
gave him way too much money.
Yeah, well, there's that, too. Oh, let's not even talk about giving people way too much money while we're talking about Charlie Weiss.
But then,
are we still paying Charlie Weiss?
No, I don't think we're finally
done. Was that last year year?
I can't keep track of all the coaches KUOs. It was bad. At one point, you're paying 3 coaches. But Charlie Weiss, he was introduced at Allen Fieldhouse. And he was in a wheelchair.
Yes, he was.
And I was at the Final Four in New Orleans when KU was getting ready to play Ohio State, and they had the prep rally at the hotel, the team hotel.
Yeah.
And Charlie Weiss went up to speak, and it stunk. and he was trying to be a rah-rah guy, and you could tell he didn't give a crap about Kansas. You could tell he didn't care about the university. You could tell he wasn't sincere at all. He was just a guy collecting a check, and that's exactly what he did. And it was great for Charlie Weiss. He's brilliant to snow Shane Zinger into hiring him. Which a lot of ADs, it would have made that horrible a hire, would have been fired. But Shane Zinger got away with it because KU football is so bad to start with. Shane Zinger hired Charlie Weiss.
I thought it was
Lou. Nope. No. Go back and look it up.
Was it?
Yes, sir.
Was it Shane?
Shane Zinger. Know that.
Okay.
I was sitting there going, Shane Zinger, aren't you smarter than that? Charlie Weiss, of all people? And it was a brutal hire. Now, let's get back to Mangino. Mangino was the last coach to have any success at the University of Kansas. We can all agree on that. But he went out with controversy, as we know. He has been invited to come back to Kansas for their home opener, season opener, on September the 2nd against Southeast Missouri State. And he admitted that when he was called by Shane Zinger, he was surprised. And he was told that during this weekend, on September the 2nd, cornerback Aqib Talib and left tackle Anthony Collins, who both played in the NFL, Talib still is, unless he's shooting himself, first team All-Americans in 2007. Well, I know I tell a funny thing when the other person snorts. And when I know it's good.
Yeah, I got a little...
Aqib Talib and left tackle Anthony Collins, first team All-Americans on that team in 07 that won the Orange Bowl, will go up on the KU Ring of Honor. Their names permanently painted in big white letters on the top ring of Memorial Stadium. The 2007 Jayhawks, the team, will go into the Kansas Athletics Hall of Fame as a team, and Mangino and Anthony Collins and Aqib Talib will go in as individuals. That's right. Mark Mangino is going in the Kansas Athletics Hall of Fame as a coach. Collins going in. Talib's going in as players. So this is a pretty deal, pretty crazy deal. Credit David Beatty, Mangino, and Shane Zinger as they deftly handled a delicate situation to the satisfaction of all parties and to the benefit of a KU football fan base that has had so little to celebrate in the 8 seasons since then athletic director Lou Perkins, when he launched an in-season investigation into Mangino's treatment of players. And after the 09 season, it was negotiated a forced resignation with a $3 million buyout, which is one of those coaches kept paying for a while afterward. Mangino said, and I quote, he tells KUSports.com, "Certainly I didn't like the way it ended. I'm not going to lie to you, but the way I was raised and the way I was taught by the coaches I work for, you don't dwell on the negative, you don't carry grudges, because carrying grudges is hard work. It's tough." Mm-hmm. Mangino said that in a matter of days, he was moving on to a new chapter in his life. "It was a lot tougher on my family than me," he said. "I spent weeks counseling my family." He said, "Sometimes when bad things happen, it's how you react that matters. I was asked to come back, and I'd be a hypocrite if I didn't support my players and be with them. I lectured them for 8 years about how you handle adversity. I'd be a hypocrite if I didn't come back to support them. It would mean I didn't believe what I was saying." Mm-hmm. "I believed everything I told my kids." And Mangino went on to say, "Another reason I decided to come back is we had such a loyal fan base at KU. People were filling the stadium, tailgating. They supported the team really well. The core fan base of KU football was awesome. This is just a way of showing my gratitude for their support." End of quote. It's safe to say anything in life, not just sports, but time can heal some wounds.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't say all wounds,
no,
but some. And there are some wounds there. But Mark Mangino, that's a highlight when he's going to be back. And probably more of the highlight for other people will see Talib and Collins and that whole team. Oh, yeah. Forget that this team's not going to be maybe very good this year and we're rebuilding. Yeah, oh man, I remember 08 Orange Bowl and the 07 season. Remember we were ranked number 2 and we played Missouri and Arrowhead. And remember how Lou Perkins was able to swindle everybody and get us the Orange Bowl berth instead of Missouri? You know, it takes you back to good times. And that's what this is. This is a warm and fuzzy thing. And I think he's going to be received, Mark Mangino and all the players, very warmly. And there are younger people that aren't aware of how things ended with him in the university.
Down, yeah.
And there are people that are aware of it. They'll be like, hey, maybe that was an overreaction because we lost 7 in a row.
Yeah. My favorite.
Where would KU football be today, though, you have to wonder, if Mangino was not fired? He could have continued to lose, and it might have gone south. Or maybe they would have been, like, average, which would be really good.
I can't imagine that they wouldn't be in better shape.
You would think. Can't be much worse.
They couldn't have been worse. They couldn't have gone any worse than it did. I don't know how it could have been worse. But my favorite Mark Mangino story is that they used to charter a plane from a company out of Wichita, and I happen to know some people that work down in that business down there, but they chartered a private aircraft for Mangino to travel on when they went to games and other appearances and things like that, and I happen to know one of the guys that was one of the mechanics for this charter service, and he said every single time without fail when KU chartered a plane for Mark Mangino for a weekend, for a game, and it would come back on Monday, he had to fix the steps because Mangino broke them every time. The little fold-out steps coming off the plane. He goes, if I had a dollar for every time I fixed the steps after Mangino got on one of our charter aircraft, he said I could have retired.
Oh, my. That's...
I don't know if that's 100% true or not, but he swears it was every single time without fail he had to fix the steps on the plane.
I believe it.
He's a big dude.
It seems like a believable story.
That's a big dude.
It does. He is a big dude. He is, and he was, and he still is a big dude, although he had that one that was it, the gastronic, whatever that is called, bypass.
Gastro surgery, and he lost
a lot of weight and still had more to lose. But Mark Mangino, all you can say is this. He did win, and he's one of the few KU football coaches that ended with a winning record at the University of Kansas. And he did it not in 2 years. He did it over the course of eight.
Yeah.
When he had to rebuild it from the start, or his record be eliminated the first couple of years at KU, his record be much better. But 50-48, for a lot of college football programs, that's average. At the University of Kansas, they put you in the Hall of Fame.
All right.